Well, turn back to Acts chapter 28. I have entitled this message, Barbarian Religion. Now, the title comes from verse 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Verse 4, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt, they were sure of this. No doubt. This man's a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers him not to live. That's the name of their God. Vengeance. In our day, when we think of the word barbarian, we think of cruel and savage, rude and uncouth and uncivilized. But verse 2 dispels that myth. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Now, it was winter. It was cold. The ship had wrecked. 276 people get back to shore, all safe, just as God had said. And these barbarians treated them with no little kindness. They treated them very well. They kindled a fire and helped them, not knowing them, but they helped them. They didn't speak the same language, but they helped them. So these barbarians were not cruel, savage, uncouth people. They were kind people. They were nice people. I hope that's the way me and you will always be seen, as kind, nice, helpful people. These barbarians were certainly that. Now, the initial use of the word barbarian was simply one who did not speak Greek. That's all it means. We think of Conan the Barbarian. You remember that movie? That's about the only thing we know of barbarians. Arnold Schwarzenegger with the big muscles and killing people and all that kind of stuff. That's not what the word barbarian means. The word barbarian means one who does not speak Greek. One who speaks another language. Now, you've been in places where people were speaking a language that you couldn't understand. It happens to me every week. Somebody's speaking a language I can't understand. They're talking about me. The point is, that's all a barbarian is. Let's look at the way Paul uses the word in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 7. And even things without life-giving sound, talking about musical instruments, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, one that's not distinct and clear, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. Now, let me say this. Any sermon better be easy to be understood. You might not like it. You might not agree with it. But it better be easy to be understood. And if you go out scratching your head thinking, what did that guy say? It was not a good sermon. Every sermon should be uttered in words easy to be understood. I love one-syllable words. That's one of the things, one of the reasons I love John so much. I am the way, the truth, the life. One-syllable words. What infinite glory is in those words. So likewise you, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. There's the word. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Now, if I can't understand someone's language, that person's a barbarian to me. If they can't understand what I'm saying, I'm a barbarian to them. Now, we speak a language that many do not understand. The language of grace. And it sounds like a foreign language to them. Now, I could just as easily entitle this message Natural Religion. I called it Barbarian Religion, but it is the religion that is natural to every man, woman, boy, and girl born into this world. This is natural. It's the way we naturally believe. I think that scene so clearly where they saw the viper fasten itself to Paul's hand and they said, he did something bad. No doubt, this man must be a murderer who, although he escaped this shipwreck, vengeance is not going to suffer him to live. That's the way everybody thinks. Kind of karma. You do good things will happen. You do bad things will happen. That's most people's religion. Karma. You do good things, it'll be good for you. You do bad things, you're in trouble. Something happens, you wreck your car, you get into financial trouble. What have you been doing? Kind of like Job's miserable comforters. That's all they did was make accusations against him. What have you been doing? There must be something you've been doing to bring this on. Natural religion. Now, the religion of the gospel is supernatural. It's supernatural. It's infinitely beyond natural religion. And it's the opposite of barbarian religion or the religion of the natural man. Now, let me remind you of 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, this passage of Scripture is a literal historical event. It's when they got to the shore and all 276 arrived safely. And I love that number 276. Means something. Two, the number of union. The two shall be one flesh. Seven, the number of perfection. The number of completion. Six, the number of man. Everybody who is united to Christ made it to the shore, safe and sound. And when they get there, these barbarous people meet them. Yes, this is a historical event that literally took place. And the events of this literal historical event teach us the gospel. Just like Acts chapter 27 was like reading an Old Testament type with regard to the gospel. These verses teach us the gospel as well. Verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, or what we know as Malta. I've been there. I've been there. Had a place on St. Paul's Bay. And it's when we had those timeshares, and every one we tried to use was used up, and all that was left was Malta. It's not a place I would have gone, but that was what we spent. But I thought it was kind of cool being on St. Paul's Bay and knowing this is the place that shipwrecked. Malta. And the barbarous people, verse 2, showed us no little kindness. Luke calls this an extraordinary kindness. And you know, barbarian religion can be very kind. It should be. We should be. Everybody ought to be kind. Everybody ought to be helpful. Everybody ought to treat every other human being with respect and decency. And this religion of barbarians were very kind. You think of how miserable it would be to come out of the ocean when it was cold and raining. And they presented them with what they needed for their help. Barbarian religion quite often is kind, but I want you to notice this word. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire and received us everyone because of the present rain. You see, barbarian religion only helps with the present. This time is short. This thing we call time, it's short. It's not even a blip in the screen between the eternities. And barbarian religion only helps with the present. There is no salvation in barbarian religion. Its adherence shall not be in heaven. It may help them in this life. You know, one of the great prophets of barbarian religion, Joel Osteen, wrote a book entitled Your Best Life Now. That's bad. If this is the best, man, he doesn't realize that he exposed himself completely just with that title. Your Best Life Now. Understand, this is not life. I love it when the Lord said, when you enter life, this isn't life. When you enter life. Its adherents were not saved in eternity past as the elect were, nor will they be saved in eternity future. Abraham said to that rich man, one who was in barbarian religion, son, remember that thou in this lifetime had your good things. And he did have his good things in this lifetime. But so what? Eternity awaits. Barbarian religion helps with the present, and these people did some good things, but not in the life to come. Now, notice these barbarians. Verse 3, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the viper, or on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat. You know, they're cold-blooded, they get around heat, and all of a sudden they come to life. And this viper that was probably very, whatever it is they are when they're kind of asleep, you know, they're cold-blooded, all of a sudden it came to life. And it jumped up and it bit Paul on the hand. And it fastened itself to his hand. Hard to tell how much that hurt. And when the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt. Barbarian religion speaks with a lot of confidence. There's no doubt about this. No doubt. This man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Now the god of barbarian religion's name is vengeance. He is a god who's going to get you if you do wrong. He's vengeance. He's a god of reward. Now, if he did right, that snake's not going to bite him. He's a god of reward, and he's a god of vengeance. No doubt this man was a murderer. And vengeance did not suffer him to live. No doubt. What confidence. But there is a complete absence of the, and concept is not the right word, the truth of grace. That is not present in barbarian religion. In barbarian religion, you're paid for what you do. If you can refrain from being bad, this won't happen. But if you've done something bad, this is what's going to happen. You will be paid for what you've done. What goes around comes around. You ever heard that? What goes around comes around. Like I said, it's karma is all it is. But this is the God of barbarian religion. His name is Vengeance. And He's not a God I want to have anything to do with. I want to know the God of all grace. Now, this is works religion. That's what it is. Works religion. Salvation in some way, pleasing God in some way, dependent on what you do. That is works religion. Now, if you believe any part of your salvation is dependent upon your works, you're in barbarian religion. And your name, your God's name is Vengeance. And He's not much of a God. Not a God I want to have anything to do with at all. Now, in barbarian religion, there's a wrong concept of sin. Why do you say that? Well, first of all, barbarian religion always sees sin clearly in other people. No doubt this man is a murderer. No doubt. He had to be in something. In barbarian religion, you can see the sin, the wrongdoing of other people real clearly. And there's no understanding of the fact that I am a murderer. I may have not killed anybody physically, but I am a murderer. I've murdered men's characters. I've murdered men by innuendo, by silence, by hate, by anger without a cause. I am a murderer. Now, barbarian religion can see other folks that are murderers. And you know, people generally think, what's the greatest sin? I bet most people would say murder. Murder. I mean, that tops them all. Murder. For one thing, all the law goes together. You break one, you've broken them all. You break one once and you break them all the time. And if you don't understand that, it's because God hadn't taught you who you are. And if that's the case, you've just never seen who the Lord Jesus Christ is in His glory and His holiness and His majesty and His transcendence. And you think, well, I can please God by the things I do. If I can keep from being a murderer, no viper's going to get my hand. And it's foolishness. It's just no real understanding of sin. I love that passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 2. As a matter of fact, turn with me there. I'd like you to look at this. Romans chapter 2. Just a few pages over. Let's start in verse 29. Being filled. Chapter 1:29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now these people are really bad, aren't they? These people are evil. What's he say next? Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. When he says, O man, he's talking about every man. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, you condemn yourself. for you that judge, doest. Doest. Now that's in the present tense, the active voice in the original language. This is what you do. You judge these people, and they're bad people. No doubt about it. But whatever you judge anybody for, you do the same things. Now that's what God says. Somebody says, I don't do all those things. God says you do. You'd be a lot better off. I'd be a lot better off just believing what God says. If God says you do that, you do it. You that judge, do the same things. Now these men of barbarian religion, they can look out. No doubt that man's a murderer. And they don't understand that they are a murderer as well. There's really no understanding of sin in barbarian religion. Now, if I have any understanding of sin, it comes from seeing who God is. The only reason someone would not think I'm describing them is because they have not seen the true character of God. If I ever see the true character of God, I'm going to see all I've ever done is broken every commandment every time. I'm nonstop in the process of breaking the greatest commandment. What's the greatest commandment? To love God with all your heart. And the second is likened to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Have you ever kept that commandment? You know what that means? That means you are in the process nonstop of continually breaking the greatest commandment. Now that's the truth about me. That's the truth about you. Oh, we can see sin in others real clearly. I can. You know, I preached a message probably 6 months ago and I entitled it, Am I a Sinner? And I remember I introduced the message saying, notice, I'm not saying, are you a sinner? I already know you're one. Am I a sinner? That's the point. Am I the sinner? It's one thing to believe in the doctrine of total depravity and see that the Scripture teaches it. And it's quite another thing to see that I myself am totally depraved. Now these people could look at Paul and say, he did something bad. He must be a murderer. And there's always in natural religion some sense of justice. He's going to be punished for this. You know, everybody is born believing God will reward the righteous and punish the wicked. Now, they don't understand who the righteous are and who the wicked are. And they don't understand the concept, really. But everybody has a certain sense of fairness and justice and judgment. A 2-year-old child learns very quick to think, that's not fair. That's not fair. I'm not being treated right. I'm not being given my due. That's not fair. That's just as natural as breathing to the adherents of barbarian religion. Barbarian religion has no concept of the justice of God. Why do I say that? Vengeance will judge that murderer. But there's no understanding in the righteousness of God in judging me or in the righteousness of God in saving me. Now understand this. The key word of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're at complete agreement there. He is the gospel. He is the gospel. I dread the thought of preaching a message where he is not everything in that message. I don't want to do that. That's one of the things that scares me every time I preach. I'm scared to death of preaching a message where he is not all in that message. And if I preach a message where he's not all, it's not a good message. It's a wrong message. It's an erroneous message. But I must understand that God is righteous in condemning me. Not just the murderer, but me. Me. I can't say it's not fair. I can't say it's not right. He is righteous in condemning me. But let's don't stop there. He's righteous in saving me for Christ's sake. It's his righteousness that demands my salvation because his righteousness, his attributes have all been honored in the gospel. And now, because my sin is put away and I have the very righteousness of Christ and I stand before God without guilt, the very righteousness of God demands my salvation. That's hard to say that. It's hard to say that. Somebody says, you really believe that? I really do believe it. It's still hard to say it, but I do believe it. Come on in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's going to be said to every believer because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, barbarian religion just doesn't see that. It just sees the other guy. No doubt, this guy's a murderer. They don't understand what sin is in the first place. They just see the physical act of murder. And vengeance is not suffering him to live. Now, I want us to understand, if our religion is contrary to any of the attributes of God, it is barbarian religion. It's not saving religion. You see, the cross, this is one of the glorious things about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the cross glorifies and exalts every attribute of God? Every attribute of God. There's a, you know, so much of, well, barbarian religion doesn't even care about honoring the attributes of God. That's, you know, let's go on to something more important. I mean, that's for theologians to debate. And that's so ridiculous. God is who He is. And any gospel, any religion that doesn't exalt His sovereignty, exalt His justice, exalt His righteousness, exalt His love, exalt His grace, exalt His immutability, exalt His independence, whatever, exalt His omnipotence, exalt His omniscience, exalt His omnipresence, whatever attribute of God that He's been pleased to reveal, the cross of Christ magnifies every attribute of God. Another thing that I would notice is barbarian religion is based upon sight. Look in verse 4 of our text. And when the barbarians saw, everything they believed was based upon what they saw. They saw this venomous beast hook on to Paul's hand, and they drew their conclusions from what they saw. Verse 6, howbeit they looked, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds. Now, this is interesting. This word, change their minds, is only found here. The word repentance is found so many times in the New Testament that it means a change of mind. But here the word is more, they change their opinion. They change their opinion. You see, there's no absolutes in barbarian religion. They can go back one way or the other, change their opinion depending on what they see. They change their opinion. No absolutes, no scriptures alone, no grace alone, no faith alone, no Christ alone, no glory of God alone. There's no absolutes. They can change their mind based upon what they see. And the fact of the matter is, what we see, we just don't get it. Everything we see, we don't see clearly. Any judgment we make with regard to anything based upon what we see is a wrong judgment. You know, anytime I judge you, I do it. It's evil. It's sin. It ought not ever be. I pray that I never judge anybody again, but I always do it. And anytime I judge anybody for anything, it's always based upon wrong information, lack of information, not knowing the circumstances. And you know, Paul did say, let's not judge one another anymore. Not anymore. The barbarian religion still makes all of its judgments based upon what it sees. At first, he must be a murderer. And then when he doesn't fall down dead with the venom going through his, he must be a god. That's another thing barbarian religion does. It makes a god out of men. It makes man way too high. You know, all you got to do is believe in free will, and you make yourself higher than God. You can trump God's will. You can keep God's will from being done. God wants to save you, but you can keep it from happening. Why, my dear friend, that makes you more powerful than God. That makes your will able to trump God's will. That is so ridiculous. It's just so not true. But barbarian religion always puts man in control. Whose ultimate destiny determines, or what determines your salvation? Me. Me. That's barbarian religion. It goes by what it sees. Now, faith. The opposite of this, faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. I wish I could say this the way I'd like to say it. I believe that I stand before God right now without guilt, without sin. The Scripture says holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. I believe that. I can't see it. I can't look within my heart and say, oh, you have reached this attainment. You're now holy. Why, you're unblameable. You're unreprovable. I can't see that. But I believe it. Because I'm relying on Jesus Christ as my righteousness before God. I don't see Him, whom having not seen, you love. I love Him. I admire Him. I love Him. I've never seen Him. I can't tell you what He looks like. I don't even try to imagine what He looks like. I know that He was, according to Isaiah 53, not what we would consider impressive looking physically. But what difference does that make? I am relying completely on Him because I believe He is the Son of God. He's the uncreated Son of God who's created the universe. He came in time. God was manifest in the flesh. And in the flesh, He kept the law for me. He put away my sin, made it to not be. Was raised from the dead for my justification. And all my eggs are in that basket. I'm not looking anywhere else. And all of that, I don't see. I believe. I believe the Word of God. The barbarian religion goes simply on what it sees. Now, this is interesting. Look in verse 6. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down suddenly. But after they looked a great while, no harm came to him. Look back in verse 5. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Now that word harm is the word that is generally translated evil. Evil. It's got a broad meaning. It's the same word where the Lord said to His disciples, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Everybody here knows what that means, don't you? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. But they could not conceive why no evil came upon Him. They just couldn't conceive that. I mean, He should have died. He must be a god. He must be a really good person. He must be a god. But the point of this is, In barbarian religion, there's no concept as to how that venom did not affect Paul. No concept. Let me give you the reason. Number one, because the Lord said it wouldn't. Remember there in Mark chapter 16 where he said, you'll take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. You'll all the things he said that they would be enabled to do by grace. The Lord said that would not take place. But the reason that venom did not affect Paul is because Christ bore that venom for him on the cross. That's why. Now let me remind you, there are three crosses on Calvary's Hill. The one in the middle is the Son of God. The one on his right hand is that thief that he saved. The one on his left hand is the one who died cursing Christ and hating him. What was the difference between those two men? There's only one answer. The man on the middle cross. The Lord Jesus Christ. The one, he took his sin and he put him away. The other one was left to be what he was. The difference was the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That pretty much summarizes human religion, doesn't it? I think the best way to name it is karma. It's karma. Really, that's simplistic, but it's so. It's karma. Do good, you'll be rewarded. Good things will happen to you. Do bad. Commit real bad sins. A viper will come up and bite you. And then if you're not affected, all of a sudden they think you must be some kind of super Christian, some kind of super religious great person. But the gospel is the opposite of all those things. The gospel is beyond this life. In the life to come, I will enjoy perfect holiness, perfect likeness to Christ forever. In the gospel, there's a true understanding of who God is from the scriptures. Not this God named Vengeance. In the gospel, we know the living God as He's revealed in His Word and all of His attributes. There's a true understanding of sin where we see, I'm the murderer. I am the murderer. Right now. Right now. Not the way I used to be. Right now. In the gospel, there's an understanding of the justice of God demanding my salvation. And why I don't go to hell is because of what Christ did for me. And you know what? In the gospel, our minds don't change, do they? It's only by the grace of God. But you know, Scripture says men along with them, they're given to change. Somebody that has one doctrine one day and another doctrine the other, stay away from that person. Meddle not with them that are given to change. But why would we change perfection? Christ is all. I have no desire to change that in any way. I love being complete in Him, don't you? I love being accepted in the Beloved. I love being saved in a way where He gets all the glory. And I have a twofold reason for loving to be saved in a way that He gets all the glory. Number one is because all glory goes to Him. But number two, that's the only way I'll be saved. Because if He doesn't get all the glory, there's something expected out of me that I can't come up with. So I love His salvation. I'm not tempted to change. Barbarian religion cannot understand the language of grace. It's a different language. And when they hear the gospel, It's another language to them that they do not understand. But when God opens your heart, and when God gives you eyes to see, you understand. You're given a new language, the language of grace. And every believer knows that language. Let's pray. Lord, we give thanks for the clarity of your word. Lord, deliver us from barbarian religion because it's as natural to us as it is to breathe. We ask that you would be our teacher, for Christ's sake. Lord, as we face this coming week, we ask that we might walk by faith and not by sight. We ask that we would be given grace to walk with our Redeemer. We ask that you would open up doors according to your will for us to preach your gospel to others. And Lord, how we thank you for who you are and how you save sinners by your Son. In his blessed name we pray. Amen.